So I'm at the National Museum of Computing at the moment, and I'm talking to Peter Chilvers, who's one of the volunteers here. Peter, could you just explain a little bit about your role at the National Museum of Computing?
Well, I'm general volunteer, really, interested in all sorts of things, but I also have a foot in the camp at Bletchley Park as well, so I'm interested in the wartime story and the wartime code breaking, but also in what grew out of that from Colossus and the role that Britain played in computing.
So if somebody brought a group here, it's possible or likely you might be a guide, that you would take people on a tour possibly?
If for Bletchley Park side, yes, but there's two other folk who are much more regular at guiding around the computer museum, but I do it occasionally.
Somebody might say, why would you want to come to a museum of computers? It's got all these like ancient machines and devices. Why, surely people would want to find out about modern technology instead.
Well, if you're older, then this is a nostalgic trip and it's great fun and remembering and telling other people about what happened in life and so on. But I think for younger folk, it's important to realise that museums are repositories of ideas, and those ideas are encapsulated in the objects themselves. And so there's various items around the museum where we can point up some of the concepts that help today. For example, one machine, we can stop the clock on it and single step through the programming. One of the problems we've got today is getting rid of heat from a processor. Well, the idea of being able to change the speed or even stop a processor is an idea that can come to the rescue. But that idea is in a machine that was designed at the end of the 1950s and implemented in the 1960s.
There's a bewildering variety and range of machines and computers here. If somebody was in Bletchley and they were curious but they only had a short amount of time, is there something you'd recommend that they... that would be a must or top of their list?
Well, the must, of course, has to be Colossus, the first programmable computer in the world that helped break the teleprinter codes, the Lorentz code, during the war. So that would be a must. Another special item is the Witch, which, will, when we've finished restoring it, will be the oldest working machine in the world. And possibly something that's topical at the moment is a new display of how Acorn turned into ARM. ARM has 90-odd percent of the processors within the world now, and mobile computing is so dependent on it, but it's grown out of those Acorn and BBC computers that many of us will remember from some time ago.
Now, I understand that as well as tours around the museum, you can also accommodate groups of pupils from schools and students. You could, like, different types of activities. Could you just explain maybe one or two of those sorts of activities that the children do?
Yeah, surely. As well as the guided tour round and explaining the things I've outlined earlier, we have got a number of modules that we've been preparing to do with programming, which could be done on a BBC computer or even a PDP-8, doing some programming in machine code, which children seem to have enjoyed. It's... if you like, working with the real machine rather than on a modern simulator where a program pops up and holds your hand if you make a mistake. It's the real thing. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. I did a module on Moore's Law, investigating the way that power of computing seems to have doubled every 18 months or 2 years, using the data from the old machines from around the museum.
Right, Peter, there's lots of information there that I think people are going to find interesting. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay.